I'm Kate Remington. This is Music Respawn, and I'm catching up with Inan Sir. And it's just so wonderful to have a chance to talk with you again.
Such an honor always, and such a pleasure.
Well, your soundtrack for Outriders, that's just been released by People Can Fly and Square Enix, is just a phenomenal, phenomenal piece of work. The way you use the orchestra and the synthesizers, and I'm just really, really looking forward to talking with you about it.
Me too. I mean, I couldn't wait to finally share this work that I did. And it was a work of years, actually. And I got to develop sides of my composition that were not exposed to the public before, and developed some new techniques, new styles, and something that people are not accustomed to hear from me on a regular basis.
Yeah, so this is going to be a fantastic conversation. And the story of the game is so interesting because Earth has become uninhabitable and there are some scientists on a planet that could be a good possibility. And then as their backup, this group of outriders, kind of an elite force, show up on the planet. And then the planet turns out to be not what people expected. It's much, much more hostile. And so what was the pitch to you from the devs at People Can Fly to get you excited about this?
Well, you know, I mean, they told me the story, but the way they came to me was, and this is really kind of like a weird angle, they really liked my score for Dragon Age.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I know. And they said, like, you know, here we are coming to you. We love the music for Dragon Age. Let's try to work together. And I said, wow, great. And then I composed something Dragon Age-esque for them. And they said, no, this is not what we're really about here. And I said, but you said, No, okay, fine. I said, all right, let's crumble all the, you know, the deck of cards here and let's start anew. What are we looking for? And it took us good 2 to 3 months to really figure out, because in the beginning, I started very orchestral. Then I veered totally towards synthesizers. And then we sort of like met in the middle eventually, where the orchestra is a very prominent part of the whole score. However, the orchestra is being manipulated and affected and changed, and the sound of the orchestra is very twisted, that sometimes it's almost beyond recognition that this is actually orchestra. On top of that, I've added some analog synthesizers and unusual percussions, and this is what this score is being comprised of. So it just took a long time to really develop, you know, the signature sound for Outriders, but I'm very happy with what we came up with, you know, after all this work.
The fusion of the orchestra, and then I'd love to talk with you at some point about the solo instruments that you've got and the chamber strings that you've got in there too. But the whole way that everything is put together, it's really seamless. And so what were some of the challenges with fusing the orchestral music with the synths? I mean, how did you decide that, well, right here is the moment that needs some synths?
Well, again, it's all about what the game is calling for. And we really wanted to create sort of like an out there, we're not, you know, on our planet anymore feel. But our heroes are human beings. So it's like you as a human being is being encountered by a total alien atmosphere and environment and unknown elements. So sort of like you bring the orchestra, which is more of like the familiar element, and you take it and you really twist it and you change it, and it becomes something that almost like being played through a weird filter, or shall we say play on a different planet,
right?
And so this, again, had to, we put a lot of thought into it alongside with Bartek, who is the visionary and the producer on the game, and Marcin, who is the sound designer and audio director. And the three of us really went a lot of back and forth and playing it against the picture and see what really works great, what enhances the atmosphere in the best way.
It's really an amazing sound, and the main theme, I don't know if that was the first thing you wrote, but the main theme just kind of infuses all of the rest of the music. You hear like little fragments of it and stuff. And so was that your starting point then for the soundtrack?
Well, fractions of the main theme were already in my mind, and more about not the melody, but what is it's going to be made of. And I created few cues before the main theme that sort of like paved the way to compose the main theme. And all these textures that are built from synthetic elements, but also weird twisted orchestral elements that we sampled and then I really manipulated. All of that basically came to play in the main theme. But before that, we developed the atmosphere we developed, the patches we developed, the soundscape. So then what, was left for us to do is really to come up with a main melody that can give us sort of like the hook, but the rest was created before.
Well, in your mind, what makes a good theme? Is it that flexibility that you can kind of break it up and use it in a lot of different ways? Or I'm just curious about how you know when you've got like the hook.
Well, when you have the hook is like if you stepped out of your studio and then like few hours after it comes back to you and you remember it and you're humming it, without trying. If it's there, then you created something memorable. And the first and foremost, most important thing for a theme is to be memorable. Now, what makes theme memorable? Well, that's a whole different story. And there are a whole lot of theories about like, and it's like how our, human brain is built. But overall, just in a nutshell, we always look for the perfect balance between the known and what makes you curious. And so basically, the known is how do you create the known? By doing two things. First, play something that is not totally out there. Play a melody that makes sense, okay? A. B. Repeat it once or twice. Once you did this, you sort of like created already something that the listener in the first time already could get hooked on it. But then, what comes then? Then try to take this and put it in a situation that it will go places that will be a little unexpected, that will be sort of like an ear opener. So basically, you play it once, you play it twice, and then you go somewhere else. And then it's like, okay, wait a second. This is something I didn't hear before. And obviously, toward the end, you will repeat it again. So you could have a closure. And usually most themes that remain like great, if you listen to them, there's a lot of repetition of the segments inside, but they also bring in some very surprising elements to them.
I love the sort of the story arc of the main theme in the soundtrack, because it does exactly that. It takes us places, and the drama and the tension and the way the tension ramps up is just, it's really thrilling to listen to. So I guess, you know, job well done.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. You know, and again, I must say that this is a teamwork. Like every main theme I'm working on, there's just so much work and thought that is being put into it by obviously me, but also you know, the creative directors and the audio directors, who really, they know the game much better than me. They are playing the game for years sometimes before I'm even being brought, so they are already inside, and you know the game is already inside their head. And if you write something that doesn't really go well and support what already they have, they will know right away.
Well, besides talking with them, which I'm sure is like the most valuable thing that you can do to get ideas, what are some of the other things that you rely on to get started? I mean, is it, you know, the concept art or videos of gameplay?
Anything I could put my hand on. You have to remember, obviously, that the secrecy in the gaming community is, you know, sacred. So it's just like really hard to extract anything from them. And especially that we're on two sides of the globe here, and they're in Poland and I'm here. And so we met once or twice where I could play the game. And obviously, I did get some very, you know, preliminary footages of the game so I could look at it. But I think that the most effective one is really our sort of like creative discussions about it. Because it's not so much like what you see and then write to it, is really what is the emotions we're going for here. And this is something that we really had to, you know, discuss in details. And the story, what is the narrative, what are we really want to tell the player when he or she are starting to engage, you know, in playing it.
Well, how early in the process did you know that you were going to have access to the incredible orchestra in Budapest that recorded the soundtrack? Because I would imagine that would kind of inform how you wrote the music as well.
Well, good question. It was not clear for a long time if we are going to do it or no, because there was some thoughts that we actually would like not to involve live orchestra, because the whole thing about the score is that it's very synthetic. So we don't want any sort of traditional elements being inserted in and like take it not backwards, but in a different, to a different realm. But I made a point telling them that if they want to create the most impact or dramatic impact, that orchestral sound is part of it, even part of it, then the MIDI just cannot give us what we are looking for. And if we really want to create this huge impact, we have to record the live orchestra. And they've listened to me and they've agreed, and this is how it happened, basically.
just love all the brass that you used, because they really, they anchor the sound, but also it works so well with these like huge machines that the Outriders are you know, driving across this planet, and then just the drama of the planet changing. And so it must have been fun to be in the middle of that when you were hearing the orchestra perform it.
Of course, and it's always such an amazing experience conducting an orchestra, specifically if it's a really good orchestra, and seeing how your music is basically being almost conjured or coming to life, because it really never is what you're hearing. You could imagine, after so many years I've been working in the field, I can imagine how it's going to sound, but there's always an extra layer, extra angle, something beyond what you really can imagine. And it has to do with the energy that the musicians have, and the connection between me as a conductor and composer and the musicians. What is being created in the room once we're working? And then this is what really brings to life the music in a way that it just could not be when it's, you know, played with samples.
Yeah, of course. And so how do you, I don't know, compartmentalize your brain as a composer and then conductor too? I mean, do you have to like separate that out? And I would imagine, I studied conducting for a while and I found it really, really hard. But how do you like react in real time to the sound that they're giving you?
Again, I am approaching the orchestra not as a conductor, but as the composer and the musical leader, because my conducting chops are okay, but definitely not like what a really high-level professional conductor could bring to the table. But this is not what we're after here. I am trying basically to sort of like almost transfer to them the feeling that I have when the music is being played. So this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the connections that are being created between me. It's not as a conductor. It's like I am basically coming here with my music and I'm trying basically to transfer you the emotions and everything that I really think this music has, that you could play it the way I want it. And this is my approach. I'm not approaching it as really like, okay, I'm conducting right now. So no, the conducting is just part of the process that I'm creating.
Yeah. And mixed in with the orchestra and these amazing synth sounds are some absolutely heartbreakingly beautiful passages for like solo cello and little string ensemble. And you talked about the emotion of the story of the game, and that really comes through with some of these cues. I'm thinking about realization, where the player, the person that you're playing in the game, is in a side of a dream world and comes to the realization that everything, this world that in my case she thought she was going to be part of, it's just not that at all. So that emotion is just amazing.
Well, thank you again. And the truth of the matter is that we created, like I composed a cue and we called it emotional. And this is the cue that plays with a cello solo. And this was something that we really, and Bartek really made a point that he wanted to have this cue present in the game, because, you know, the huge contrast between the bombastic orchestra and the pounding percussions and the shrilling synthesizers, and then you play such an intimate cue inside, the emotional contrast that it creates really gives the whole situation the extra depth, extra emotional depth that he was looking for. So this was totally made on purpose and with a lot of purpose. So thank you for noticing it, because we really tried to sort of like veer away for a moment and just bring, you know, the emotion without the whole huge things that are going over there.
What's so, I think, powerful about that is if it's cranked up to 11 the whole time, there aren't any moments to just sort of pause and take a deep breath. And so those moments when things are cranked up to 11 just have a lot more impact.
Exactly. And this game, as you could, of course, witness, is very intense, sometimes horrifying, but it's all about really battling. But there is a story there, and the story there is quite prominent, and we really thought during the development of the score that the music needs actually to create the connection, not so much to what's going on the screen, because this is talks, you know, on its own, for its own, but really try to connect the player to the story, to the narrative, and that's what we were really looking for the music to create.
Well, who were some of the characters in the game that were a big influence or that you wanted to sort of support with your music?
Well, again, you know, the protagonist is an interesting character. He did not choose really to be there. And he did not choose, or she, it depends who you're playing, did not choose really, like, they are being thrown into it and they need to respond. And the music basically tries to tell their story in a way that, you know, okay, we are in this oh shit situation. And what are we doing right now? And it's not so much about fighting all the time, but who are our allies? Who do we, you know, really believe in? We have the doctor that we know that he is basically the voice of sense. There is one character that I really enjoyed writing a theme for, and I don't want to talk a lot about it because, again, I don't want to spoil anything. But there is this alien character called August.
Oh, right.
And he, to me, was a very interesting departure from the rest of the crew, because he actually is bringing sort of like the alien life to the Outriders, and he becomes part of them in a way. And so writing his theme for me was quite a joy, because just this sort of like trying really to find sounds that will be melodic still but very alien, to me, was very interesting. I don't think we need to get too much into all of that.
But I'd love to get into the weeds a little bit with how you created the sounds that were part of his theme. I mean, what kind of synthesizer sounds did you
use? So basically, when you take analog synth and you couple it with a classical instrument like a clarinet or English horn, the timbre of both of them colliding and creates this swirl of unreal and real sound. And when you take these and you play the melody with all these instruments together and they complement each other, and then in the background you take like these wobbling synthesizers, but you also shift in some strings. All this together, basically, alongside with some interesting harmonies that are totally not really standard, I found that very, very as a sort of like a powerful tool, you know, to give, you know, how he looks, how he thinks, and how he acts.
It's fascinating the way that you experiment with things until you get it just exactly right. It must be like having a big box of crayons that you can kind of get in there and mix them and blend them until you've got just exactly the right sound.
Exactly. And this is what we're doing when we're creating a soundscape. It's really like you throw a lot of colors, on the canvas, and then you start to see what really gives you the emotional depth. What can you do? Usually it's actually taking out rather than adding in, because I always start with a lot and then I'm starting to, you know, take out. and separate elements and see what works with what. I mean, we have to remember, we're not writing a classical score here. We're writing like sort of like the epitome of a hybrid score.
Sure.
This is definitely what, I was doing basically when creating this soundscape.
One thing that is so interesting about this game, at least that I thought about, was that the planet itself seems like it's a character in the game. And as the Outriders and the other people are exploring it, there's a lot going on that is very hostile. But I would love to talk with you about some of the exploration music or the music that you wrote to kind of describe the planet, because that's got a really interesting sound.
And again, this was actually the most joyous, my journey with this game, because obviously writing the music for the battles was very, very challenging. How can you create something that still lives within all this, like all hell breaks loose? Music needs still to make an impact and to penetrate, and there's a lot. But actually creating the aleatory sound, but something that people did not try before. How to really, and for me, was really taking the organic sounds and manipulating them rather than trying to take a man-made synthesizers and play them. Because I really wanted to create an organic feeling, our organic feel of the planet, because this is a real thing. It's not a man-made, it's not made of metal or electricity or anything. There is a soil there. There are plants there. There are animals there. They're just very different. So for me, the answer was take an organic elements, man-made or nature-made instruments, and then twist them and affect them in a way that they will sound like they're being played out there.
It's such a cool sound that the track Forest sounds is fascinating, and it does sound like it just grows right out of the landscape.
And thank you for, saying it, because this is exactly what we were, aiming for. Really, like when you're venturing and you just listen to the alien wind through the alien trees into the alien landscape and you hear the music, it'll all basically be connected together in your mind of like how alien this place is.
Well, I remember there was a GDC talk that you did a few years ago about how you used your garden furniture for Fallout. Did you make any recordings or sample anything?
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely created a lot more sounds, not using garden chairs, but using weird tubes, actually, and other wind elements that I brought in. So they could be part of the soundscape, and especially like in these forests or the desert, actually, environments. I did a lot of my own sampling because libraries just didn't have, they had a lot, but they didn't have everything I was looking for. So I just had to basically create my own, you know, collection of sounds to weave in and to create this special soundscape.
So where do you come up with these things? I mean, do you like go to Home Depot and start banging on stuff and say that makes a cool sound?
I mean, you know, it's like in my mind and without really knowing it, but my ear already knows what it wants to hear. So I could just like go places, blow through things and stuff. But once I know that this is what I'm looking for, I'll know it right away. So, you know, everything could become an instrument if you play it right.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't really need to look for, like, to go to a junkyard. You know, everything you have in your home or any primitive instrument that you could bring on. And also there are lots of plugins and electronic elements that you could apply to a regular flute and it'll become totally alien sound. You could also take some high-pitched instrument like violin and bring it 3 octaves down and suddenly it's becoming an alien instrument because it plays like a violin, but like a huge violin, but it's not a cello. So that's what I'm calling manipulating sound. So this is like the way I'm working on this.
Wow. It actually sounds like fun. I mean, like a really fun process to experiment with all of this stuff.
Oh, this is my favorite, you know, one of my favorite parts of the new compositions, just finding new elements, finding new really sounds that can support what I'm looking for.
Well, so since this is a new franchise and you worked in other series like Fallout and Siberia, where the kind of the tone of the music was established, what were some of the challenges with coming up with a sound for this completely new franchise?
Again, we all knew it. I mean, like, except of eyes, that because I thought in the beginning, oh, they want Dragon Age, right?
Right.
But no, they just like the music of Dragon Age. But the fact that, you know, this has nothing to do with it. But again, the process of creating the signature palette and sound for a new franchise, I mean, the challenge is huge. And you gotta remember that these developers, this is what they eat, drink, breathe, feel for months and years, okay? And so everything is so important. Again, it took us 3 months of just finding what we don't like, finding what elements we like, and then trying to put them together. And after put them together, what should be the balance between them? And, you know, so all these fine tunings, again, you know, for games like Fallout, every new iteration, if it's a new game, or it's a, you know, DLC, again, I will take what I created before, but I'll definitely things will evolve and things will change according to the story, but you sort of like have a base to, you know, to go back at and to listen to. And it's like, you know, remember that this is the sound of Fallout. Here I didn't have it, you know, so again, challenge.
Uh-huh. I'm curious about what were some of the other ways that this working on this project really stretched you as a composer?
Again, I am known more as a symphonic composer. And although during, you know, Fallout, I definitely developed a lot of interesting sound, but people will, in many cases, will come to me to create an orchestral symphonic sound. But since People Can Fly did not really know what they're looking for, it actually presented for me an amazing opportunity to break into a whole new realm, which is more of the electronic realm. And I had experts developing only for me new synthetic sound just for this game. I did not really go for, oh, so I have this plugin and I have this library, great, let's go with this. No, I really wanted people to create for me something from scratch. And it'll be something that I am looking for. And actually, my lack of knowledge in synthetic music or elements helped me to create something that was totally out of the box, and that other people that are, that this is what they do, synthetic music, said, oh, wow, you know, there's something new here, because I was not bound to the rules, right? Because I didn't know the rules, right? So it actually really opened a whole new world of soundscape for me, which I right now already have.
Thank you.
that's so cool, because what also is really neat about that is, because you got these sounds from People Can Fly, it really integrates the music with the sound design too. So it's like, it's like really seamless.
Yeah, you know, like, so we have this sort of like the code, and you know, that is going with us throughout the whole game. Yeah, again, I don't want to go into it, but there is like the frequency, the thing. And they developed like a very specific sound for it. And this became like almost sort of like the hook for when you hear this sound, you know, oh, you know, something is about to happen, or where are we? And, you know, and I took this sound and integrated it inside my score and complemented it and highlighted it in the same time with the backing orchestra, and the outcome was really something special to me, because taking what they really said, oh, it's just a sound, you know, it's like, but then really making it as part of my musical arsenal when I'm creating music, and then you hear it, but you hear it within the score. It's like, it really puts you right there inside the game.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and listen now really, really carefully so I can find that where you've embedded it and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was challenging about writing the music for the bosses for this?
How to get as loud as I can. The massiveness of the sound effects all over is just, you know, mind-boggling. So it's not so much about loudness. It's more about what element should I create that will penetrate and will give us the right drama. And weirdly enough, for some of the bosses, I went for choir.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, because the choir is incredible.
You know, because choir tends to really penetrate nicely and create this ominous gothic sound that when you hear it, it's like, oh, we are at the gates of hell, you know? I mean, we just have it because we were listening to Requiem from Mozart and Verdi, and, you know, and we know how this thing's just like, you know, the bells of doom. So sometimes you don't really, and in this score specifically, I was required to be very original in many aspects. But actually this aspect, sometimes you just need to bring the element that straight to the point, work.
Right.
And it works, and it sends the message, and it brings you the emotional aspect. That's it. You're good. And I remember having a conversation with Bartek, and Bartek's like, you know, let's go with choir here, because I think that just the gothic feel of the choir, although so many people have used the choir before, but did anybody use the choir on a huge, giant something that looks like an alien spider? You know?
Thank you. That's so cool. Was it a live choir or a sample choir or?
In the beginning, I didn't want to use live because I really wanted to use something that sounds more synthetic. So basically, I used some samples that I had, but then I mixed them with synthetic synthy voices. So if you listen carefully, it doesn't sound like a real operatic or choir or choral music. You could hear the voices, but they're again like coming from hell.
Well, how do you get synth choirs like that to sound as though they're singing, I don't know, Latin or some other language? Is it just where you put the syllables for them to sing?
Exactly. Yeah. And you really don't want to put syllables in places that will make sense. And you don't want to put the syllable in places that people could make up words. But you do want to put some syllables that people will sort of like dive in and understand that this is not another instrument, but this is actually sort of like a synthetic human being that is doing this. And with this, you bring, because just patches of the sound will not give you really the full effect. But if you throw in some syllables here and there, then it just takes it to a whole different level.
Yeah, for sure. Did you find that it was a little, you could cheat a little bit because they were synth voices, you didn't have to put the breaths in?
Oh, definitely. Again, that's the beauty of it. And to begin with, and this is why, again, we're not sure if we want to record live orchestra. We wanted to create a synthetic, aleatory score, and this is what we wanted to achieve. So nothing should be really earthbounded. Everything should be basically made in Enoch, which is the planet.
Well, we've covered a lot of stuff about what made this such an interesting project for you, but is there anything else that I didn't ask you about what was really satisfying about working on this project?
Again, I feel so fortunate to do the score because it just stretched to me in so many ways, really. I mean, it took me places that I would just not go. It forced me to look for different soundscapes, for look for different compositional techniques, for different sounds, different instrument. It really widened all my musical knowledge, and this is what I really loved about this project. It brought sides in me that even I did not know that I have. So I'm very grateful, just overall, first for People Can Fly that believed in me, and for the fact that we went on this journey and together created this I think pretty unique score.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. I mean, just start to finish, it's just so listenable and so interesting and rich. And Enon, it's just been so much fun to talk with you about it. So thank you so much.
And same here, really, Kate. And again, I'm always happy to talk to you, and I can't wait to talk with you again.